It's the beginning of Shvat. I can't resist not talking about some basic lessons of human growth. The pasuk describes ki ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh. There's so much to learn from the growth of a tree and our own avoda and avodas Hashem. A lot of these ideas are ideas I've mentioned in the past, and for those who've heard them, I apologize. They're hosafas and maybe new lights. There's a very famous pasuk in Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, Tzadik HaToma Yifrach, a tzadik is like a tamar tree. And we've mentioned many times over that the tamar tree, its roots grow very, very deep into the ground. Rishayim are kamo esev. Rishayim are like grass. Grass, the roots don't grow very deep into the ground. I have a Talmud from about 10 years ago who's now a Rebbe in San Diego, who heard this many a time from me, and then he emailed me with some amazing additional facts in, I don't know how to describe it, in botany. Rabbi Adam Simon told me that we always said over that the date tree, by nature, it grows very deep into the ground and you don't see the fruits. And he said, but not, it's not only that. It's true, the date tree doesn't produce fruits for a long time, but actually a date tree grows without its roots going deep into the ground, but it spreads out like a web. Its roots don't go deep, they go horizontal. And the height of the date tree corresponds to the advancement of its roots. Unlike grass, which grows and then dies, a date tree continues to grow by building on top of itself. It dies from the previous year. You've learned the previous man. You finish that, and then you build on that the next man. The Arze Alvana, the tzaddik, is Katama Yifrach, and also Karze Alvana, the cedar tree, its roots grow very, very deep, vertically into the ground. Our responsibility in Avodas Hashem, ki ha'odam eitz ha'sadeh, is to realize that just because the fruits haven't come, it could very well be it's because for real fruits to appear, to be the essence of a tamar and an erez, the roots have to first be very, very, very deep into the ground. And even though, he pointed out to me from a perspective of botany, the roots of the date tree are very similar to grass, the difference is that it lurks below the ground. And Rabosai, that's a yesod that we have to constantly be mechazik ourselves with. Last week we spoke about the idea that for Avodas Hashem, the key, Rabbi Yerucham taught us, is not the chalois, but it's the process. Not only is it the process, but sometimes that we don't even see the peros in the process right away. That takes quite a bit of time. And that's also Shita Speishamai that says that the Rosh Hashanah Leilanos begins now. There's a famous machlokus between Beishamai and Beisil. What is Rosh Hashanah Leilanos? Is it from Rosh Chodesh Shvat or is it from Tu B'Shvat? Beishamai is of the opinion it starts from already Rosh Chodesh Shvat. When do the buds appear in the tree? From Tu B'Shvat, explains Rashi in the beginning of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. That Beishamai is of the opinion that you measure from when the sap begins to appear in the tree. What's Beishamai teaching us? He's teaching us this yesod again. That what's choshuv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the most integral part of a person's development, are not the peros that are seen, but the potential that no one notices yet. And of course, most people give up because they don't see those peros. And that's lesson number one. If you're a tree, if you're an adam eitz ha'asada, we learned last week, like Rav Pam had taught us, that growth is like the kevesh al mizbeach, you're either going up or going down. It's true. But just because you don't see the fruits doesn't mean you're going down. It's a little bit more complicated than that. It could be there are beautiful sharashim that are growing deep into the ground. And that requires time and cheshbon to ask oneself, where are the sharashim? What are the sharashim? How are they progressing? And how chas v'chalila they're not. If you're a tree, you're growing. That's a simen achayim, the sharashim. It's ridiculous to think about a dead man voting. It's ridiculous to think about an eitz having any chashivus if it's dead. You know, in Beit Shemesh, it reminds me of something that I've seen. In Beit Shemesh, you just heard that there are re-elections in Beit Shemesh because of voter fraud. So someone put up a sign in one of the Batei Midrashim, and it said, in the re-elections, no voting between, don't come to vote between 9 and 11. Kohanim should not come and vote between 9 and 11, because that's when the dead people vote. But it's just a joke. Although, you never know. In Beit Shemesh, anything could happen. Anything could happen. That's lesson number one. Lesson number one is that the yesod in avodah, the yesod in growth, is that definition of being alive and being alive through simanim that aren't necessarily things that could be seen from above ground. But there's something else in Shitas Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai is also telling us something that's even deeper. And this is something that Rav Nevin Sal Shlita emphasized to me in discussing many other sugyas and shas within Shitas Beis Shammai. And that is, Beis Shammai is curious. Beis Shammai over here says that you look at the sap. And Rav Nevin Sal pointed out that in many places in shas, you'll see that Beis Shammai does something like this, like he does by Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Beis Shammai always seems to be focusing on the potential. I'll give you a couple of examples. Fascinating example of Zevin is Ma'or, this one, in the Sefer La'or Halacha. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that there are two opinions between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What bracha do you make on fire on Matzoy Shabbos? What bracha do we make? Of course, Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh. People are not aware of is that the Shita of Beis Shammai is Bora Ma'or Ha'esh. In the past, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the past created the singular fire. What's the machlokis? So Rav Zevin quotes, interestingly, the Gra from a Kabbalah perspective. He's Madaik from the Gra, that the Gra was Masbir. Machlokis revolves around the following. Beis Shammai looks at things from the perspective of the potential and its original. The original creation of fire was a singular fire. In Kabbalah, it's referred to as the Or HaGanuz. Bora Ma'ora Esh. Beis Hillel looks at things practically, not in terms of its original makar, but how it appears down here in this world. Fire has different colors, the Gemara says, has different expressions, and it's in the present. Bore Ma'ore Esh. What's behind this machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? There's a yesod in Kabbalah as well. That la'asid lava, who are we going to follow in the machlokios between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Beis Shammai. What's going on? Why Beis Shammai? The answer is that just like Beis Shammai emphasizes potential, just like Beis Shammai doesn't emphasize the reality of this world, Beis Shammai is teaching us in his Shita an amazing phenomenon. And that is, from the perspective of heaven, potential is reality. From what we see, from our perspective, reality and potential are two different things. Many things happen on the way to heaven. There are realities that distort particular potentials. But la'asid lavo, all of those things are going to slowly begin to fall away. And you know what's going to be left? Potential is going to become, your potential will become your reality. There's one more sheet there of Nevin Sal added. There are many that one could add, but just throw in one more. The Gemara tells us that according to Beis Shammai, Shinui is not kona. That means if someone has olives and he transfers it into oil, it's not considered a Shinui for Kinyan. Beis Hillel says it is. Why? Because according to Beis Shammai, olives are oil. Potential is its reality. Klapei Shmaya, there's no difference between the olives and the oil. But Beis Hillel, he's the Metzius in the present situation. In the present situation, reality and potential are two different things. Rabosai, this is the second lesson, which is such an important lesson in our Avodas Hashem. It's true that we paskin like Beis Hillel. And it's true that the realities in this world are that potential and reality are two different things. But how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu look at you? How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu perceive you? How are you supposed to perceive yourself from the perspective Klapei Shmaya? The answer to that question is Klapei Shmaya, the way in which you should look at yourself is from the perspective of your potential. Maybe we could coin a phrase tonight. Greatness is measured by how close your potential is to your reality. Das heißt Gadlus. That is a definition of greatness. The definition is how much a person has been able to take all of the potential that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him. And I've argued at times, people were taken aback when I said this, that most people in the world reach only 3 or 4% of their potential. Could very well be someone who's great is someone who reaches 20% of their potential. Yesh Laden, who am I to throw out numbers and to know? But one thing is clear. Godless is defined by how much a person has really looked into that perspective of Beis Shammai. It's very, very difficult. Because when we are so wrapped up in our own metzius, when we're so wrapped up in our own realities, it's very, very hard for us to look at things from the perspective of our potential. The Torah HaKdosha tries to tap in. That's what the learning of Musar does. That's what the learning of Chassidus does. That's what Rabbeim are supposed to do. That's part of going and asking Eitzah from Rabbeim. That's the koach of a Rebbe, is to show somebody that there is a perspective, a godly perspective, a holy perspective, a heavenly perspective, that's above and beyond their perspective, because you and I are so shakua. We're so caught up in our own metzius that we can't see the potential. Now this is a great nechama, and it's a great tviya. It's a great comfort. It's a great comfort because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't view us from the perspective of our lowly, practical mistakes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't view us from the perspective of the reality that we see ourselves in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees us from the perspective of our potential. There's going to be a din and a cheshbin on every single one of our ma'isim, but the essence of who we really are, Beis Shammai is right. It's not practical, but Beis Shammai is right. And of course, it's a great tevia. It's a great demand on us, as we mentioned before. How close are we really, really coming to our potential? There's a very, very famous line. There were two great brothers, the Rebbe Reb Zusha and the Rebbe Reb Melech. The Rebbe Reb Melech of Luzhensk, as Rav Yoel Ravkovsky describes as the roar, the Rebbe of all Rebbes. He had a younger brother. I'm not sure younger or older. He had a brother, the Rebbe Reb Zusha. And Reb Zusha was very, very different. And Zusha used to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to ask me why I'm not Melech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask me why I wasn't Zusha. There's a fantastic story that they say, I just heard from one of my Talmidim. Avram Salomon's told me the story. He's told me it's well known in Hasidic circles. A Gevaldik Maisa that they say, and with this I conclude, brings home the point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants every single one of us to maximize our potential and to look where the sap is, where the Sharashim are, and that our sap and Sharashim are going in one direction and somebody else in a different direction. If I have the details of the story correct, and I don't know if I do, and no one has the correct version of the story. After all, it's a Chassidus Shemaisa, so there's no correct version of the story. But here's the Maisa. The Maisa goes that the Rebbe Reb Zusha, Rebbe Melech, when they were young, they somehow got into trouble. They had many, many escapades together, and they were sent to a jail. They came into a jail, it was horrific conditions, and they were sitting there, quietly, each one of them lost in their own thoughts of how terrible the situation was. And all of a sudden, the Rebbe Reb Melech starts crying. The stench is awful. The Rebbe Reb Melech starts crying. And Zusha says to him, Melech, what's bothering you now? And he says to him, I started to think and learning, but then I realized that there's tzoa, there's excrement that's sitting right here. And not only do we not have food, not only do we not have money, they were penniless, but I can't even learn HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. And then I chazered over the halachas, and I can't even daven, I can't even say tilim, I can't do anything. Rebbe Reb Melech cried. And the Rebbe Reb Zusha said, you're right. We can't learn. We have absolutely nothing. But we could still be besimcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be besimcha. So they supposedly got up together. They made a rikud around the excrement, the dance around the tzoa. They were dancing around the tzoa because that was the only thing they could do. That was the last thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to do, is to be besimcha. It's reminiscent of what Rav Shach described, that the last thing of the Jews did on the way to the gas chambers. Very, very different setting, but the same yisod. They had nothing left. So the only thing they had left was Simcha Navodas Hashem. And they danced themselves into the gas chambers. Lahavdil. So they're dancing around the excrement. And the jailer looks at them and he says, these guys are nuts. And he lets them go. Ad kan ha-maisa yidua. Rabosai. For that maisa to happen, I want to add, there were two things that needed to take place. You needed to have the Rebbe Reb Melech's tremendous avas ha-Torah's tremendous pain, and you needed to have the Rebbe Reb Zusha's tremendous potential and optimism. Each brother needed each other. And these were two great men who tapped into that tremendous koach. To have that tanz, to have that dance, there's a lot that goes into it in terms of a person reaching into their potential. And two brothers to be able to put their two potentials together. The Tziruf HaKochos. Klal Yisrael is all about Tziruf HaKochos. And therefore, if Reuven reaches his potential, but Shimon doesn't, Shimon's potential might not be to be the Rebbe Reb Melech in learning, but he has something else. Then Reuven's not going to reach his kochos as well. That means that my responsibility is directly connected to your responsibility to tap into your kochos. And that we as a tzibur, we as Knesset Yisrael, are not going to reach our ultimate tachlis, the tachlis of Bias Goel, until every single one of us, each person, al pi madrigoso, does everything he can to mekadesh his kochos. And Reuven's kochos are not going to go far enough if Shimon's not mitzaref. There's a lot to learn from that tanz. It all starts with Shitas Beis Shammai. The Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos that's entirely forgotten. The Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos that's entirely forgotten because it's entirely below the surface. There's no boxer. There's no Tu B'Shvat Tishes. There's nothing magical that's going on. They were all a tremendous kochos that most people have entirely ignored. Kodesh Baruch Hu should give us a siyata d'shmaya that our kochos shouldn't be the same way. That our kochos should reach the ora teira, that the ora gonus of Beis Shammai should become an ora nikla.